Good morning. Tea, top of the morning to you and the rest of the day to you as well. I know it's not St. Patrick's Day, but it's not St. Patrick's Day, so I don't know why I'm doing that. Otherwise, but it's April 5th. Man, can you believe it? We are into April already. The year is just cruising right along. Just an amazing, at an amazing rate of speed, so to speak. What a beautiful day today. It's going to be nice. It's going to be a little windy out there, though. Should we take a look at the forecast? Let's look at the forecast. Ouch. Not sure. You want to hear the forecast? Huh? Hey, here's an idea for you. You got a question today for any of our guests, or maybe for me? Go to studio at kymnradio.net. That's it. Studio at kymnradio.net. Send an email. Send it over. Got a question for one of our, you know, one of our, like, say, interviewees, or, you know, you've got something for the radio station, or you just have a question in general, or you're just curious about life in general. I'm sure I can come up with some sort of bogus answer. But nonetheless, just go to studio at kymnradio.net. That's right. I would like you to send me some emails if you got them. It's doesn't cost you anything. So just go to studio at kymnradio.net. If you go to our Raider Rap page, you'll see that we do the podcast every day, different things like that. We put it on the air and put it on the website as well, kymnradio.net. You can go back and check out all those podcasts as well. But like I said, studio at kymnradio.net, we do ask that you send us something. Yeah, why not? What do you get to lose? It's a Saturday morning. It's a beautiful Saturday morning. That is. Let's do a quick rundown of the forecast, shall we? I got to tell you, we got some really cool stuff going on today. Janet Smith, the head coach of the track team, will be in this morning. They've been running a couple of meets here in the past couple of weeks, as this spring has been pretty mellow, actually. A little on the chilly side, but you know what? Not a lot of moisture. Like last year, we were just continuous rain and downpouring. And we're also going to have Claire Casson, who is going to be the guest on Meet the Raider with Liz Campbell today. And then, of course, Kathy Norrie, the coach, teacher, mentor of the arts team. She's going to be on here to talk a little bit about the Arlacott that's coming up on Friday, which is kind of a cool deal. It's their 23rd annual, so that's a bunch of fun. That's going to be a whole ton of fun going on. But first, we're going to listen to the scoreboard here real quick. And then we'll come back. We'll do a quick look at the forecast. What do you think about that, huh? Let's do the scoreboard with Grant Selko. See what Grant has to say. Hold on to your hats, boys and girls. This is going to be a wild ride. Oh, yeah. Grant!
Good morning, Raider Nation, and welcome to this week's Raider Wrap. I am your host, Grant Selko, and you are listening to the scoreboard. There was barely any spring activities this week, but most teams start next week. Along with giving you some scores, I will introduce each team with their opening games. To start off, the baseball team will play the Orono Spartans today at 2 p.m. in Northfield. They will also be playing three more Big Nine teams next week, Mankato East on Tuesday away, Albert Lea on Thursday at home, and Faribault away next Saturday. The softball team actually had their first game yesterday at Mankato West. Their following game will be versus Mankato East at home. The boys lacrosse team have two scrimmage games today in Rosemount. Following their scrimmage games, they will play against Shakopee to start their season Saturday the 12th. After two more away games, they have their home opener against Mankato on Tuesday the 22nd. Moving to the girls' side, they have their first game a week from the boys on Tuesday the 15th at Rochester JM. Their home opener is 2 days after Thursday the 17th against Lakeville South. Finally, both track teams actually had their first meet Thursday. Both teams had a great showing, with the boys winning the 4x800, the 4x200, and the 2 mile. And with the girls winning the 4x400, the 800, the 300, and the 4x800. That's it for this week's scoreboard on the Raider Wrap. Thank you for listening, and good luck to all the Raider sports this spring. You are listening to KYMN 95.1, The One.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
When it's baseball season, when it's baseball season and fans come out, when it's baseball season, fans come out and Buck goes deep.
Swung on, hit the left field. That ball is out of here.
When it's baseball season, fans come out, Buck goes deep, and Pablo's throwing heat.
Swung on and missed. He struck him out.
When it's baseball season, fans come out, Buck goes deep, Pablo's throwing heat, and you got a smile that won't quit. That's the wow that brings us together. That's when the Twins rise as one. Your seat is waiting. Get your tickets at twins.com/tickets.
KYMN is local radio available anywhere. Listen live online at KYMNradio.net or on the TuneIn Radio app.
And welcome back. Yay, it is the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. Grant Selko with the scoreboard. So you could tell that we got a lot of us sports coming up here very quickly. But let's talk about the ladies' Raiders. They faced chilly temperatures on Thursday, and the girls' track team had a lot of good times and marks despite that weather conditions. Many athletes are competing in their very first high school track and field meet ever, so we got a lot of young people on there today. One thing to note, the girls' team did not race in either the 4x100 or the 200 sprint relays since they have so many new athletes that they wanted to get the open times for many of the runners so they could get a sense of who will be a good fit for those relays in the future meets. With that said, Janet will be here in about 30 minutes, and she'll be in here, and she's going to talk about all the great things that are going on with the girls' track team this week. And they opened up their season a week or so ago, and only about 13 competed during spring break there while everyone else was out in Aruba and Bahamas and Oh Pretty Mama and things of that nature. They were out and about doing that, and the track team had about 13 people participate. We'll talk a little bit about that opening matchup there along with what happened there on Thursday night. It seems like they bowed pretty well. They had a bunch of seconds and some firsts, and I think they did pretty well there on Thursday night. So we'll talk to Janet about that. But man, we got to talk about this next person. I wish I could talk more and more about this person. I'm just going to give you a little hint. The next person I'm interviewing is up for Minnesota Teacher of the Year. That's right, from right here, from Northfield, Minnesota. She is in the top 40 of Minnesota Teachers of the Year, and I think that's just an outstanding deal. She stopped in to talk a little bit about the Arts a la Carte, which is the 23rd annual event that goes on this Friday night. Yes, starting at 5:30 over at the high school. It's only $5 to get in, and man, this is a cool event. So we thought this would be something that, you know, you talk about the Raider Wrap, wrapping things up and getting students involved and parents and families and community. Man, this is it right here. So take a listen to what's happening with the a la carte. My guest this morning is Art a la Carte. And if you don't know what that is, we're going to find out here shortly. So Catherine Norrie is our guest this morning. Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing all right. So, you know, Arts a la Carte can refer to several things, including a film series focusing on arts. You have a program coming up. I believe it's the 23rd annual?
It is the 23rd annual Evening of the Arts, and we call it Arts a la Carte. And it encompasses a whole smattering of things. There's a film festival. There's a fine art gallery show. There are interactive booths that are put on by the Honors Art students. I have 28 students this year, so there are 28 booths that you can visit. There are hands-on activities, including face painting and henna and marbled paper creations, shrinky-dinks.
Shrinky dinks. Are those those little plastic thingies that you melt?
Yes.
And you turn them into shrinky dinks?
Yeah, and turn them into keychains.
Is there any spirograph? You remember the spirograph?
We don't have spirograph. No. We have clay wheel lessons, so you can come and learn how to throw something on the wheel. And then we have a lot of musicians.
Just throw it
on the wheel. And then it turns into a bowl. Yep. And we have lots of musicians who are going to show up. We have our theater kids who are going to do a little spring play practice preview where you can go in and watch them in action, learning their lines and doing their thing in the theater.
Is it got to do with the spring play in particular?
Yep. So they will show a scene. They usually do a scene, and they're doing The Great Gatsby this spring. And so I'm not sure which portion will be chosen, but Sherry Setchell is the theater director, and she is so great at working with us and having something to share. It usually is at the very beginning of the celebration. Our celebration starts at 5:30, and so you can anticipate
a week from Friday. Friday night the 11th, right?
Yes.
And what, it's at 5:30. Where is it?
No, it's at the high school.
Oh, it is?
Yep.
Okay, very nice.
You can come in kind of the main off Division Street door, or you can come in the auditorium door. Both entrances you can come in. It's $5 a person.
Okay.
And it is fun for all ages. So we have little ones up to grandparents, and everybody can find something fun to do.
Who is in Arts a la Carte? Is it elementary kids?
No.
Nope.
It is the high school students who are in the arts, so in the fine arts, who put on essentially a giant arts carnival for the community. And last year we had 1,200 people show up and enjoy the evening.
Wow.
It's grown so much. This is
how long does it last?
The event is from 5:30 to 8:30.
Okay.
And then from 8:30 to 9, we have awards. So we have a community guest judge, who is actually Michael Johnson, who's the executive director of the Arts Guild.
Oh.
He will come, and he will be our judge and pick a first, second, and third place in our student gallery show. And then we will have some secret teacher judges who go around and judge the Honors Art booths to kind of decide who gets the prize for being the best booth. We have a People's Choice Award, so anybody who comes to the event gets to put a ticket in a box and vote for their very favorite piece of fine art in the gallery.
So call all your friends and family and come down.
Yes, and come down. We have people coming from all over, you know, the state to do this. I have my own relatives come up from Rochester because they have so much fun seeing this. So it is a really well-attended, super fun event.
Is this strictly the Northfield students, or do you incorporate some of the other area schools at all?
No, it's just Northfield High School.
Does Faribault have anything like this?
I don't believe they do. Okay. I think it's a really unique thing that we do at Northfield High School, and my colleague Karna Hauk and I have been working on this for a long time, and it's really been the art teachers and the music teachers at the high school who have kind of been the backing of this event, and we have just loved how much it's kind of welcomed the community into the high school. It is, I will oftentimes have my students come up and say, I remember coming to this as an elementary student, and I was so excited to have my own spot at Northfield High School at Arts a la Carte. So it creates really lasting memories for these kids.
So each student has their own booth?
Each student in my Honors Art class. So Honors Art is our capstone class. To be an Honors Art, you have to have been in 5 classes at the high school in an art class. And once you've gone through those 5 classes, you actually apply to be in the Honors class. And the culminating piece of the Honors Art class is a show at the Arts Guild.
So you have to have a desire, a passion to be in the arts, mm-hmm. to be a part of this. It's just not some random, because like you can take an art class.
Yes.
And if you're not into it, you're not into it, right?
Right. So, well, Minnesota actually has a requirement of taking 1 credit in the arts. And that can be in 1 of 5 areas. It could be theater. It can be music.
The Raider.
It can be visual art, media art, or dance. And so our high school offers media art, visual art, and music. And so actually, we had 941 individual requests to take art classes last year.
Wow.
So when you have a population of 1,200 kids at the high school and 940 requests, you have a lot of people who are taking art. So there are a lot of kids at the high school.
Must be a super easy class.
No. But there are 15. There are 15 different art classes.
Really?
And so you
list them off.
Art Foundation.
Okay.
Drawing and Painting 1. Drawing and Painting 2. Watercolor 1, Watercolor 2, Color Design, Filmmaking, Graphic Design, Clay Wheel 1, Clay Wheel 2, Printmaking, Honors Art, and AP3D.
Okay.
That's a lot.
AP3D, that's 15. Congratulations.
That's
You're a winner.
It's a lot.
Congratulations. Get her a donut or something. So I want to talk about the film thing real quick.
Yeah. So we have a film class.
I'm kind of into the film thing.
Yeah.
But you said at this event on Friday that there's going to be films being...
There will be a film festival.
So will it be right in their booth, or will you guys be displaying this?
I think... So that is something that Karna Hauk, my colleague, puts together because she teaches the film class at Northfield High School. And it's the films that will be shown are films made by her students.
Wow.
And so there will be this kind of welcoming to come in and watch the films, and you get to see these things that were made this semester. So it's really exciting to see things, you know, digitally created, physically created. I should even say that the clay students, they're the ones who are giving clay wheel lessons. So really,
not the teacher.
It's,
so it's actually,
a handful of adults. It's a tiny handful of adults with a big stable of amazing students who really run the show.
So Catherine Norrie is our guest this morning, and she is not just an art teacher, but she is also a part of the Arts a la Carte program coming up next Friday. Mm-hmm. So this is the 23rd. You've been teaching for 25.
Mm-hmm.
Did you start this?
It was my first year as a teacher. I was lucky enough to be there for the first year. But when I started, we were in the middle of having a grant from the state of Minnesota. And I was not one of the people responsible for getting the grant. Karna Hauk was on that group, and there were other art teachers and other teachers who pulled in that kind of funding stream from the state of Minnesota. And one of the requirements for that CAP grant, it was called Comprehensive Arts Planning Program, one of the requirements was that at the end of the year, you had to show your community how the money had been spent.
Mm.
And so that was how this idea of having an evening of the arts, plural, came about, because this CAP grant funded drumming and theater and visual art K-12. And so we wanted to create this experience where people could come in and see the dollars that have been given really going to work. So for the first few years of Arts a la Carte, there was no charge at the door. It was just this amazing kind of volunteerism at its best event. And a couple of years later, the grant dried up, and so we didn't have it anymore. But the community came to really love it.
Nice.
And we came to love it, and we saw what an impact it had on our students. And so when you have students saying, when is it? When can we do it? When do we get to try it again? We just knew we had to keep it going.
Sure.
So it's been that kind of energy that has pushed Karna and I to do this volunteerism every single year. And the only reason that it's not a 25th anniversary is because COVID got in the way of two of our years.
Yeah, got in the way of all of our years, actually.
Put a little wrench in it all.
Yeah. So with that said, are these students responsible for setting up their own booths and everything? Is it their ideas? Do you guys give them ideas? Do you say, here, this is how I would present it? Or is it kind of like, okay, this is your thing, so you be as creative as you want.
Exactly.
If you want the fans or the people visiting to come up to your booth, whatever that takes, within reason, obviously. Flying trapezes and stuff like that probably don't exist.
Not too far off the mark, though.
Okay.
One year, one of my honors art students was doing beautiful, giant acrylic paintings of her horse. And she asked if she could bring her horse.
Get out.
And I said she had to talk to our principal. He gave her the green light.
Wow.
She brought the horse through the high school hallway, ducked his head under into one of our courtyards. We have these grassy courtyards at the high school. And kids could come and pet the horse that was the character in all of her paintings. Oh. We have had the most creative booths over time. And remember,
who got stuck cleaning that up? That's what I got
about. I'm pretty sure Emma cleaned it all up on her own. She's a pretty do-it-herself kind of person. That was probably 10 years ago. But we have these kids in this honors class, and in the honors class, they get to pick their own focus. They don't have to do assignments like you would do in a normal class. They get to choose what their passions are. And then these booths reflect their passions. So if they're into clay, they might be throwing on a wheel, creating things on a spinning wheel. They might create some kind of giant backdrop. Maybe their theme is about world travel. And so they're going to take you basically on a little trip around the world, and they're going to decorate. We have had really outstanding things. And they make them, they create these booths between 2:45 when the school day ends and 5:30 when the doors open. And it is parents and the honors art students who come on in, and they completely they make over the hallways. It's almost like you wouldn't recognize Northfield High School that night. They completely convert it into this art space. So if you think of an arts show or an art fair and everyone has their own booth and they can make their own thing, that's exactly what you're going to find.
So when did the brain start spinning? When did they start going, okay, this is coming up at the end of April. It's January. I think I better get ready. Or do you only give them a short period of time to plan this? Or?
We talk. So honors art is only a second semester class. So they're only with me starting in January.
Okay.
But I will say many of the kiddos who are in honors art have been coming to Arts a la Carte since they were tiny. And they have been thinking about where they want their booth because they get to choose. Okay. They get to choose what location fits them best. They get to decide where it's going to be, how it's going to look, how big it's going to be. The hallways at Northfield High School are pretty sprawling, so they have quite a few feet to work with.
Right.
But these kids, some of them will say that they've been dreaming about this since ninth grade.
So are they scattered through the hallways? They're not in the gymnasium or anything like that?
Nope.
Cafeteria?
So
or?
The upper calf, yeah. If you think about the upper cafeteria, we probably have 12 hands-on crafting artistry things that people can come in and make. So that's where the shrinky dinks would be. That's where you get your face painted. That's where you get your glitter tattoo. That's where you make a little hand-bound sketchbook. You get to do all this cool art-making stuff. And that is really fun because that's where a lot of our youngsters, our elementary students, kind of get hung up there. Like, they cannot believe all the things that they get to make.
Right.
And so it's just this enormous, exciting space. In the lower cafeteria, that's where we have our fine art show. So we have lots of pedestals and boards filled with, I think we had 250 pieces in it last year. We have that down there, and we have concessions. So the Fine Arts Booster Club comes in and sells concessions to help raise money to turn around and give it right back to all the departments.
Is there popcorn? Do you know?
I don't know if there's popcorn. Okay. I think pizza.
Well, Jimmy LaRue is pizza, known for his popcorn. So,
and then
if there's popcorn, I'll be
there.
You'll
be there? Well, you should come anyway.
I know I should. Popcorn. Yes, yeah. I absolutely should because I think we talked a little bit off the air. We talked about the Raider Rap as a whole. Yeah. And yes, it's about the Raider Rap, you know, Raider activities and things like that. And everyone, it used to be the Coach's Corner. I think that I've kind of taken the reins, if you will, and want to express, you know, it's not just about sports because there's so many other activities in these schools and so many amazing young people that you never hear from. You never hear about their name in the paper because they didn't score the winning touchdown. But my God, they may have created something that is just absolutely beautiful. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I participated in all kinds of activities as a young high school kid growing up. Because what else were you going to do? That's what you did. Mm-hmm. And you participated in whatever activities. And so I was able to participate in all these different type of activities. And this is one of them that, you know, when you started telling me, I mean, we had an art class. We had one.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Abnett. He was ended up becoming the mayor. But he was the art teacher. Yeah. And he was the only one.
Yeah.
And it was ninth grade. And that's when you took your, you know, he might have done seventh, eighth, and ninth. But you had the one class, that was it. You came in, he taught whatever he taught, and that's what you had as far as art. But you're saying there's all these classes, and you have to take five of them to get into this Arts a la Carte. So, I mean, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
So when you leave the two cafeterias and you start walking down the hallway kind of to the rear of the media center, and then you find the hallway that leads you down to the art department, that's where you'll find those booths. So there's so much to see. And the hallways then lead you down to the art department where there are clay wheel lessons and other activities that you can see, plus our student art gallery that's actually located inside of the art department. So it's just this like amazing space and maze of creativity and opportunities. So it's amazing.
I know we're short on a little bit of time here, but I just need to ask you, has technology changed the way these programs? You've been around for 20 plus years, and you know, 20 years ago, technology was completely different. And with the digital age now and different things, how has that affected this program at all? Or are they using now when they do some sort of, you know, audiovisual stuff, are they using those types of digital technology to help with that? Or
so my colleague, Karna Hauk, she is our media arts specialist. So she teaches a filmmaking class. She teaches photography, which is now digital. It's not wet-based like it used to be. And she has a graphic design, so they learn Photoshop. I mean, they learn all these amazing real-world skills that they can go out and use. And so, absolutely, those technological pieces were not part of the game in 2000 when I started. But our department reached out and looked for ways to become more technologically savvy. And it was the Purpich Center up in Golden Valley that offered some of these media arts classes and kind of teaching you how to bring technology into your classroom. And I remember the very first computer that we brought into our classroom to do film. It was a really big deal. It was
right.
The only thing in the room. And now kids have iPads. And I would say in many ways, the iPad has simplified my life as a teacher. Because yes, they will turn in the physical painting and we'll hang it up in the gallery and it will look so beautiful, but they will also take a really great digital picture of it and submit it
sure.
to a digital kind of turn-in box, if you will. And then I can be anywhere in the world and grade the work. I can be on my couch. I can be in Texas. I can be anywhere. And I can take
Fiji Islands, you know, wherever.
Exactly. I can take the work with me. And then you don't have to worry about damaging it.
Right.
So I think technology has really made a big improvement.
Well, as you can tell, time just flies, Catherine. We talked. This is our first opportunity to sit down and have this conversation on the Raider Wrap. I hope to see you again very shortly. April 11th, 5:30. PM at the high school.
Yes.
You're going to be there, obviously.
I'm going to be the blur in the art apron.
Is there anything else? Do you need any other help from the community, or is it taken care of? It's just done. Don't worry about it.
Their job is to show up.
Show up.
Show up. Bring your friends. Bring your kids. Have the best time. Stay till the end. We have a huge raffle where anyone who pays the $5 entry fee gets a raffle ticket. And at the end of the night, we draw for raffle prizes, and some are big ones. And it's always so
sad. Do you
sad.
Get some of the art, too, or no?
No. Nope.
The kids don't raffle that up.
No,
are the
don't.
Kids selling anything? Are they already duplicating, making, you know, copies and selling them? None of that?
They're not selling them at Arts a la Carte, but the Honors Art students will have a final art show at the Northfield Arts Guild. I should come back and talk about their art show, actually.
Absolutely.
It's in May.
Okay.
And at that show, they have the opportunity to sell.
Rumor has it, I know the guy that schedules these events, so that's cool.
Turns out.
Now, Catherine, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I know we're short for time today. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck at the a la carte, and let's talk again soon.
I would love that. Thank
All
you.
Right. Catherine Norrie. Are you a coach? Are you a mentor? What are you? Are you just an art teacher? No, I mean, for this type of
for
thing,
this?
Is this, you're just...
Am I off?
No.
You know what? I'm an art teacher, but I want to say I'm kind of like a coach because I can help coach these kids. Really, Arts a la Carte is like the varsity championship showing.
Gotcha.
It is this big night. And I have to say this. If I'm still on the air, I have to say this. There was a gentleman who moved to Northfield with his family, and they came to Arts a la Carte for the very first time. And at the end of the night, he came up to me and he said, I thought I was at a homecoming pep rally. Because the end of the night's award show filled an entire side of the bleachers.
Wow.
All the way up into the balcony to the rafters.
Wow.
And people were screaming and cheering and hooting and hollering for artists who made paintings.
Nice.
That got first place.
See?
So
this is why the Raider Wrap is about activities.
It is.
Because there's so many young people out there that deserve to be recognized.
Yeah. Couldn't say it better.
All righty. Well, Catherine, you are officially off the air.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Catherine Norrie, the head coach, mentor, extravaganza. I'm not sure, but, well, she helps. She does a lot of different things. And she is up for State of Minnesota Teacher of the Year. We'll talk more about that, hopefully, in the upcoming weeks. Try to get her on again here in a couple of weeks. We've got the play coming up, so we got Sherry coming on with the director of the play coming up in a couple of weeks on the 20, What day would that be? That's going to be, I think, the 26th. Yeah, I think I'm going to have that coming in. We'll have Janet Smith coming up here very, very shortly to talk about track team. But again, if you want to, you know, take advantage of the situation, Friday night, 5:30, the high school. It's $5 to get in. That's it. Probably the best $5 you're going to spend, because you're going to help nurture and motivate young people in their artistic adventures in life. So in life, it's all about art, isn't it? You paint your own picture as you walk every single day and breathe along the way. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we'll probably do a little bit of the, depending on if Janet pops in here or not, we'll either have Janet Smith coming up shortly, or we'll go to Meet the Raider with Liz Campbell. Either way, we've got plenty more coming your way. Don't go away. You're listening to the Raider app on AM 1080, 95.1 to 1, KYMN.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Hi, this is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders. I want to take a moment today to reintroduce you to our Bluff View neighborhood. We are excited to let you know that in 2025, we are in full swing. We've completed the first 10 homes, and it's turning into a great neighborhood within our community. We presently have 4 homes for sale that are in various stages of completion, including our model home that is available Friday through Sunday each week. The best home sites always sell first, so come today. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your
community dream. Banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season.
AM 1080 KYMN, FM 95.1, K236CO, Northfield.
You're listening to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN, 95.1 to 1 and AM 1080. Jimmy LaRue with you on a Saturday morning. It is the 5th day of April already. Crazy day today. Hey, did I forget the forecast? Well, here it is. I'll bring it to you right now. Looks like we're going to have plenty of sunshine today, which is going to be absolutely wonderful. Winds will be out of the northwest, a little bit on the windy side, 15 to 20 miles an hour, warming up to about 42 today. Clear skies this evening, cooling off to around 28. And then for tomorrow, Sunday, sunny skies, a high near 53. Those northwest winds calm down a little bit tomorrow. For Sunday night, mostly clear, cooling off to around 24. Monday looks like sunny skies and a high of only 39 for Monday. Monday night, cooling off to 22. So things just a little bit on that cool side still here in the early part of spring. Sunny skies and a high near 50 on Tuesday. Tuesday night, cloudy and 35. A 30% chance of some rain possibly on Wednesday with sunshine and a high of 58. Wednesday night, maybe a little light chance of spring showers here, the April showers, low around 40. Thursday, there is an opportunity to get to 63. And then Thursday night, cooling off to only right around 40. And then a high again of 64 on Friday. So things kind of warming up just a little bit here as we are already into the first week of April on our way to week number 2. So currently we've got some beautiful blue skies, a couple of clouds hanging around, lingering around up there, and we are now at about what are we at? 34 degrees. So a beautiful day this morning, and it looks like Janet Smith is making her way into the studio. I told her 10:40, and she is right on time, as always. So as soon as she walks through that front door, we're going to get our head coach, Janet Smith, on the air. Here she is. She's going to scoot over here, and she's going to grab a microphone. She's going to take a deep breath, and she's going to relax. And
I'm
she's
here.
Gonna, there she is. How are you?
Good. We were out on the track this morning in the wind, windiest place on in Northfield
it's
on the middle school track.
It is windy today. It is nuts. It's going to be kind of a nice day, 42, but a little bit on the chilly side this morning. And you've already gotten a couple of, you guys are halfway through the season.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's flying by. No, we had an indoor meet over spring break, which was really fun.
I didn't know it was indoor. I thought it was outdoor. I thought you were, like, braving all this weather and, oh, my God. And,
we had our indoor, but then we just got done with Faribault on Thursday, which was chilly. It was like low 40s, high 30s for most of the meet. The wind did die down by the end, but it was pretty fierce to be out there in those elements and have a lot of our first-time athletes ever. You know, that was their first meet they participated in, and it was just kind of chilly. But
you put a note on my in my email, and you said you didn't run your 4x100 or 200 because you had other activities. Was there just more people participating, or how did that work?
Oh, well, we've just got a lot of new girls out, and we just thought, you know, it's a fresh year. Let's get everybody some open times in the open one, open two, so we can really establish who's going to be in those sprint relays this year before we made those decisions.
So you just picked four people and say, here, go run.
Well, no, that's what we didn't do. We didn't, you know what I mean? We raced everybody in the open events first to get times on them this week. And now this weekend, we're working on the lineup to see who's going to be in those sprint relays for the season.
So you ran more, maybe 100-yard dashes, 200s, 400 meters.
Yeah.
You ran more of those.
Yes.
And let people run them and see how they did.
Yes.
And
like
almost like a tryout,
you know?
Right. Well, yeah, because, you don't know. Just because a person's super fast in the 100 doesn't mean they're that good in the 400.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, we wanted to get lots of times on everybody. And
I was the person that ran that 14.3 100.
Yeah.
Yeah, whew, blazing. And then ended up running the 800 instead.
Yeah.
So, because I was a lot faster. Faster,
nice.
Longer, or something like that. I'm not sure what it was, but I was more of a distance person too. So
So it was fun. We were out there and got a lot of good first competitions under our belt, and we're excited for the season. The girls have a lot of strong returners, as well as a lot of new people. Right on the other flip of the coin, there we have a lot of returners, multiple athletes on our team who are heading off to college to participate in track and field, which is really exciting to see. They've made this their main sport, and
very nice.
They're going to be heading off to, you know, collegiately. So we have one last hurrah here this spring with some of those seniors to see what they can do.
Very cool. So the first one, though, like during spring break, you only had a handful of students. There's like 13 or so participated in that.
Yeah, we only brought about 15 girls with us because a lot of our families like to spend time with, somewhere warm or just with each other on spring break. And so we brought 15 athletes with us to UW River Falls. And it was a really well-run, efficient meet. We're probably hopefully going to head back there. If it stays during spring break, we think it's just a good first meet to get our athletes a little bit of competition. And then if it becomes a thing, maybe people will head on vacation starting on Wednesday over spring break, and they'll stick around and go to that meet with us.
That would be ideal.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be fun. So was that just an invitational?
Yeah, it was just an invitational. They didn't even keep a team score.
It was a tune-up.
Yeah, basically. It was a tune-up. Yeah. I call it a rust buster, right? We're busting the rust out of ourselves and figuring things out. So that was fun. We had girls had a good 4x4 that day. We had a really good couple of performances in the mile. Micaiah Patrika and Thisbe Jothan, they were both there for the mile that day. That was fun. And we had a couple of people do the 2 mile for the first time ever. So, you know, it was exciting, and it got some people just some experience. They've never been able to participate in a track meet before, and they're like, oh, this is what this is all about.
Wow. Really? You got, that's how youthful this team is.
Yeah, exactly. We have 72 girls out, and I'd say, you know, a third of our team is new, and that's just how it is almost every year in track and field. So,
But that's still pretty good, 72 participants.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
it's a good,
ridiculous.
Good group.
Any idea how many boys got this
year?
Yeah,
the boys have like 95 boys out. We have 72 girls, and I just heard from the middle school coach they have 125 kids out.
Wow.
So we have a lot of kids practicing over there on that facility every day.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So the middle school and the high school kind of share the track and whatnot?
Yeah, we sure do.
Wow. That's a lot of youngsters.
Yep.
In one spot there. No mischievousness.
Oh,
no.
It's all so organized. It's not at all like herding cats around.
So what did we do the other night? You tried in Faribault. You bring more of the team with you? You bring the whole team?
Yeah, whole team went. We were geared up trying to get them mentally ready, you know. A lot of first meet jitters. We, you know, talked about how you're not going to go out and PR your first race of the season.
Did anyone?
There was a couple girls who came out strong this year who are faster than last year, but most,
the beginning.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah.
But other than that, though, you know, I'd say, well, why didn't you compare it to your first races last year? That's a better comparison than your end of season times last year, right? Because that's hard to compete with yourself when you're at your tip-top shape versus your beginning of season shape. So we talked through that, and we just had a lot of fun being teammates. We've done some good team bonding things this year, trying
already?
To build that camaraderie. Yeah, I mean, we're in our fourth week of the season.
Wow.
We started March 10th.
Wow.
So
really?
Yeah.
Yep. Where the heck were you?
I don't know.
You should have been on this program at least a couple weeks ago.
Shoulda. You had some blank space in between all the sports ending.
Well, you know, when you've got championship teams, what are you going to do, right?
I know, right?
Hockey team, they're all over the place, so that was always kind of fun and exciting. And the wrestlers, and both the girls and the boys wrestling team did outstanding. I mean, I think we've got the Knowledge Bowl. They're going up the state. There's just a lot of different things. Speech class is doing outstanding.
Yeah. Robotics is out this weekend.
This is the big week for them.
Yep.
We had Nick Connor on last week to talk about that a little bit and just some of the cool things that they do. So, and they're participating. This is like their Super Bowl this week. So this is going to be fun for them too. So there was a few things going on.
Yep.
You know, but now it's track season.
I know. So we love how track is. I say this every year, I think, when I get on the radio at the beginning of the season, how we get to have all the athletes from all the different sports come together on one team. And so we talked to the girls in the first couple of weeks, like, isn't it neat that we have people who went to state and cross country, people who went to state in hockey, people who went to state in, you know, or even not just state, but like had really solid volleyball teams and swimming teams and all these girl athletes coming together to be on one team to work together. Our Olympic weightlifting team has some really strong athletes that we get to, you know, come together and be on this girls track and field team.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, good times. So what is Janet Smith's expectations this year? I mean, you're 4 weeks in. You had a couple of meets, things like that. Are you going to compete in the conference? What do you think?
Well, yeah, we're definitely going to compete in the conference this year. The girls at their goal setting session, they want to win the conference this year. I did some deep diving into the stats, and I think it's possible. Definitely top three would be amazing. We have a really stacked conference, so to be up against all in the top three with those teams would be outstanding for us. We were third last year, which we surprised a lot of people. We were, I think, fifth seeded into that meet, and we took third behind both the Mankatos. So Mankato East was the champs last year, Mankato West, and then us, and then Winona. And then I believe it was Faribault. Winona beat us at section. So Winona and us are very close in competition and in our depth. And so they'll be the people to kind of get. But yeah, we're looking to
Mankato,
place high.
Is Mankato?
They're going to be
solid again.
They're going to be really solid again.
Why is that? Any idea?
They're just deep in all of their events. Like we don't score in every single event. Like we struggle to score in the triple jump and in a couple of our lower sprint races. Like our 200 we didn't score in last year, and the 400. I think those are the only three events we didn't score in. We're 2, 4, and triple. But if we can find some athletes to fill those spots this year, we're going to have some really...
I was going to say, as a coach, are you going to, realizing that...
Oh, yeah.
You're looking at the stats, you look at the analytics, right? You're like going, If we could get two here, and two here to run in these events, at least maybe they might show, maybe they might get a point here, a point there, which could make a huge difference. Do you now approach some of the runners and go, hey, what do you think?
Yeah, we're working on recruiting some girls to try the different jumping events, and also a lot of new ninth graders out that we're trying to figure out, are they like what we call our A sprinters, or are they our B sprinters? Are they our really short sprinters, or are they our mid-distance sprinters? And so we're just like, that's kind of why we did that last week, was we didn't run any relays because we're looking to see who can we train in what specific events. So we're looking to fill those places and score those points. But yeah, we're going to be strong in almost every single field event again, all the way to, you know, 100 at Kate Huber's is great in that, all the way up to our 3,200. We're pretty solid. So yeah, we're looking to place high. I don't hope, you know, not setting expectations too high, but that's what you have to do as a coach, right? We want to go out and compete this season, and it's our year to do it, because we'll graduate out a lot of quality athletes who score a lot of points for us. So.
Is Ella Pegel by any chance on the team this year?
She is not. Okay. She was a few years back, and she won't be back, I don't think.
Yeah, she had some shoulder injuries. We did have her in here, and she did win the state title for the girls' heavyweight division, and she... I know she wants to go into the electrical field and things like that. And we had her on a program a couple weeks ago.
Unfortunately, a lot of the girls, wrestlers, they tend to do the spring season, which doesn't allow them to do the spring wrestling season.
Right.
And that doesn't allow them to be athletes on the track.
But
and
I thought
field
she didn't
much,
she
so.
At one time throw a shot put
she
or something
did,
like that?
Yeah.
For her? Yeah. And then she hurt her shoulder and whatnot.
Yep.
And that's unfortunate for her.
Yeah.
Quite the young individual and great athlete as well. So with that said, what's coming up for the track team? When do we go head to head?
So we have a meet this Friday at New Prague against New Prague and Mankato East. So that will be a really tough competition for us to see. We are going to see the, you know, conference champs with Mankato East, and New Prague has a huge squad. They bring a lot of girls out as well, kind of similar to us. So that'll be fun on Friday at New Prague starting at 4 o'clock, and then we turn around right away and then compete again in our first conference triangular the following Tuesday. And so then we'll be in Rochester Century, and then it basically is every Tuesday we have a meet then up until conference. We have a conference triangular every Tuesday. So
does Mankato have a team as big as your team?
Is Mankato East?
Yeah.
Yes.
East and West.
Yeah, they're actually. both have a really good sized team. So
right.
Yep.
So, yeah, so they match up pretty well, and they do have people in those other events and stuff.
Yep.
Is the triple jump that you talked about, is that's got to be, I don't know, you've got to really work at that, don't you?
Yeah, it's a very coordinated event. You have to have power and speed kind of to combine and coordination to get that going. So, yeah, we're looking to see if we can fill that position.
Is there anybody right now that's interested in that, that's tried it?
Yeah, we have a couple. Unfortunately, one of the girls who's our best girl at it, she's a transfer student and isn't eligible to be a varsity athlete this year, because when you change districts and you don't move to the actual town, you have to wait a year to then be on the varsity roster.
Oh,
so
family didn't move into
correct.
Northfield. Had they moved into Northfield, that would have been
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, that would
so
be her spot.
So this was a scholastic transfer, if you will. So
yeah, so. But we have some people starting to practice it now that we're back from spring break. Spring break kind of throws a kink in things. Plus, the weather this past week wasn't that great.
Right.
And it's hard to practice triple jump inside. But once we're consistently outside, we'll be getting some people to give that a try. So.
And what were you doing this morning, you said?
Oh, we were out on the track, the distance kids, getting a kind of little speed endurance in. Nothing crazy. It wasn't a big long run since we just raced on Thursday.
And it was just a long...
just the distance kids, yeah.
So how many of those out of that 60?
We had about...
How many distance kids you got?
Well, between the boys and girls, I think we have about 25, 30 distance kids out. So,
okay.
Yeah, a nice little squad there, both... on the boys and girls side. So
how's that pole vault team coming?
Yeah, pole vault's doing great. We had all the four of the girls scored points for us at the invite on Thursday. Micaiah was our top this week, and then Ani Gottfried, and then we had Kate Wiebe and Hollis Holden all scoring.
I think we had Anna in here in the studio, and we talked about that, and she was doing pole vaulting and different things
and
like that. So.
She's one of our athletes looking to go post-secondary somewhere collegiately to participate in track and field. So I think
cool.
She hasn't quite decided where yet. She's making some final decisions about that. So.
Is she a junior or senior?
Ani Gottfried, she's a senior.
Okay.
So we have a bunch of seniors that are going to be strong for us. Elena French in the throws. Ani in the pole vault, Emily Beham in the hurdles, Kate Huber's in the short sprints.
Emily Beham, she's just the hurdles.
She's a hurdler, yeah.
Was she number six finish last year?
I think seventh in the state.
Okay.
Yep, for the 300 hurdles. So she'll be back strong for us. She's a captain. We have Addison Enfield. We have Anna Forbord. They're all really strong athletes.
Good quality leaders, too.
Trying to decide, you know, where are we going to place all of them? It's a big puzzle of how are we going to get the most kids into the most events where we can score the most points, but yet, you know, meet their specialties and what they're good at. So, yeah, it's exciting time of year because it's still fresh and
everyone's pumped up, wants to participate, and it's out there. And
exactly. So
it's going to be kind of, last year it was just downpour. It was just raining the entire first part of the season.
Yeah,
so this year's
miserable.
A little different, a little chillier.
Yep.
But
we've been able to get outside a lot more than last year. So,
yeah. Well, did you guys have your Saturday morning breakfast?
No, that's more of a cross country thing.
Is it?
They tend to, we try to go places where they can then go out to eat afterwards, but not necessarily
I was really looking forward to this year. I was going to crash
crash one of these days and host from my house where we're making pancakes.
I'll take that invite all day. You let me know where I can set up the microphone. We'll do it.
Yeah.
So cool. Well, thanks for coming in. I don't know what you got planned for the rest of the day, but you gonna go running again or what?
No,
how about you?
Are you
getting events coming up this year that you want to try?
I was sidelined this winter with my own injury. I'm getting a little older. I gotta be a little wiser about my training, but I'm back at it and jogging around with the team on their easy days, and I'm just happy to be back out there enjoying the fresh air. So.
You don't have any half marathons?
No,
or
nothing
full
on
marathons?
The race docket
nothing?
Right
no?
now.
No?
Just enjoying being back out there. So.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for asking, and thanks for having me. We'll talk again soon.
I certainly hope so. This is just the beginning of the season.
It is.
Beginning, middle, and end. Well, I like to get everyone in, you know, more than just one time.
Absolutely.
You know, say, hey, what's up, Jared?
I'll bring some captains with me next time, and they'll have more to talk about once we have some more meets.
Well, you know, we've gone on for about 15 minutes and didn't even blink an eye, so think about that for a second.
All right, thanks again.
Thanks, Janet. Jenna Smith, the head coach of the girls' track team, joins us this morning. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, why not? Let's talk more track, field, arts, a la carte, all kinds of fun stuff in this week's Meet the Raider coming up right here on 95.1 The One.
Finding the right home can feel like solving a puzzle. That's what Dean discovered when searching for a house that fit his vision and budget. He found a fixer-upper in the perfect location, but it needed work. That's when his lender from Merchants Bank stepped in. Equipped with a tool belt of loan programs, they worked to put all the pieces in place, helping Dean to turn that house into his dream home. Whatever your puzzle, Merchants Bank has the right fit for you. Merchants Bank, building dreams together since 1870. Equal housing lender, subject to approval.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders.
When it's baseball season, when it's baseball season and fans come out, when it's baseball season, fans come out and Buck goes deep.
Swung on, hit the left field, that ball is out of here.
When it's baseball season, fans come out, Buck goes deep, and Pablo's throwing heat.
Swung on and missed, he struck him out.
When it's baseball season, fans come out, Buck goes deep, Pablo's throwing heat, and you got a smile that won't quit. That's the wow that brings us together. That's when the Twins rise as one. Your seat is waiting. Get your tickets at twins.com/tickets.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bruss, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
95.1, The One.
Hey,
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning on the Raider Wrap. And we're approaching 11 o'clock. It's about 4 minutes in front of 11 o'clock. Overcast skies? No, there's no overcast. I got some sunshine coming your way. A couple of clouds working their way out of here today, but for the most part, warming up to about 43 degrees, sunshine throughout the rest of today. Breezy, though, a little bit breezy, 15 to 20 miles an hour out of the northwest. And then for tonight, looks like cooling off into the 20s, warming back up into the 40s tomorrow as well. So not as much wind, more sunshine, beautiful day to get out and about and enjoy the first days of spring. Currently, we're at about 34 with beautiful blue skies. If you missed anything this morning, go back to kymnradio.net, go into the programs, click on programs, click on the Raider app, click on today's date, and you can listen back to today's podcast, which is including not only Janet Smith, who you just heard with the track team, but also Catherine Norrie was on this morning talking about Arts a la Carte, which is going on Friday night, 5:30, over here at the high school. Just $5 to get in. There are multiple. There's a 23rd annual Arts a la Carte going on here in Northfield. It's all about the students and their artistic abilities, different things, film and art and sculpturing and music and just everything that you can think of when it comes to art. So check that all out. That's coming up Friday night at 5:30 at the high school. If you got any more information, if you need any more information, just call the activities office at the Northfield High School for more information. And it is time for this week's Meet the Raider, the weekly event where we have student athletes, students. They are interviewing, and Liz Campbell is going to interview Claire Casson, who is not only on the track team, but she does a lot of different things, might even be participating in the Arts a la Carte as well. So a lot of fun, cool things, and this is this week's Meet the Raider with Liz Campbell. Hey, Liz.
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation. I am your host, Liz Campbell, and you are tuning into this week's Meet the Raider on this week's Raider Wrap. Today we are meeting with cross country and track runner Claire Casson. Welcome, Claire.
Hi.
So we actually had our first meet this week in Faribault for track. Can you tell us a little bit about how that went for you?
It was a really cold meet. It was super chilly. We were all bundled up the whole time. And I think a lot of us didn't do as well as we hoped or anticipated, but I think it was a really good like starting point for the season. And we got a lot of like good times to improve on. Mm-hmm. And
Yeah. And so you didn't have a track season last year. You were in an exchange program in Germany. So you are really, really getting back into it after a while of being gone. Has it been weird being back with the team or being back running after so long, or is it just the same old, same old?
I think that it feels a lot different, but there are things that feel like similar. Like the distance squad feels very similar to how it felt, but the whole team feels a lot different just because like we lost people like who graduated. But it feels good to be back. Yeah. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah,
and it's interesting to like come back after like changing so much and like having a different attitude on everything. And I think it's beneficial to like come back after like having different experiences.
Yeah, like having a little bit of a break from it gives you like a new perspective on everything.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I like that. So can you tell us a little bit about how you came into being interested about this exchange program? You went for your junior year. You're a senior now. So last year you were in Germany all year, but before you left, like, what was the starting point of interest for you going on this exchange year?
I think as a sophomore, I was just, like, curious about life outside of Northfield, like, as someone who's lived here my whole life. And I love cross country. I love track. But I was getting a little bit to the point where I was like, this is like stressful and I'm like worrying too much about my times and I need to like figure out like the part of myself that's not defined by my times and defined by running. And I applied for this program and it sends like 250 American kids to Germany every year. And yeah. And then I got in and I said, why not? Because it was paid for. And yeah. And I was able to run there as well, which was awesome. Yeah.
That is exciting.
So I didn't just stop running, but I did stop competing for the year.
Yeah. And how did you even come about, like, hearing about this program?
My mom actually did it. And I was just talking to her one day. I remember I was, like, sitting in her office, and I was like, what was the program you did? And then I looked it up, and the application was due in, like, 3 days. Mm-hmm. And so I did the application super quickly. Like, I did not think I was going to get it. I did mm-hmm. not think anything of it. And then a couple months later, I got a call that I was in the semifinals and for the interviews. And so then they flew me out to Texas, to Dallas. And then I went to the interviews, and I met a bunch of people, like, from all over the U.S., and that mm-hmm. was super cool.
It's, yeah. And so you really just, on a whim, said, okay, I'll apply then. Like, it was really yeah. just time-constricting. You were just like, okay, I'll yeah. do it.
Yeah. And at the time, like, yeah, I did not think anything of it, really. I was just like,
well, whatever. Yeah, like, I'll try it. Yeah, I was
just like, might as well apply. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But. Do you feel like your mom kind of was, like, pushing you to do it a little bit? Or was she like, you do you, like, I'm definitely not going to get involved?
Yeah, definitely not. I feel like she didn't. It was actually funny because I grew up, like, I spoke a little bit of German at home, like, growing up. And I always kind of, like, pushed that part of myself away, which is kind of interesting. And I was in, like, Spanish until, like, ninth grade. So I was really, like, the one person in my family who, like, barely spoke any German. So she was super surprised that I would even apply for this program because yeah. I didn't really have any interest in German beforehand. Yeah. I don't yeah. think she really wanted to send me off for my junior year when I was 16, but it turned out fine.
Yes, yeah. it did.
yeah.
So I'm sure she wasn't all that excited to see you go.
Yeah.
But can you tell us a little bit about what it was like finally actually getting to Germany and, like, adjusting to life there? Because I'm sure it was a little bit crazy at first, like, culture shock and all that stuff.
Yeah, it definitely was. We had a month of language camp, so we were with all the other American exchange students learning German for a month, like, living in this little tiny town in this, like, converted monastery, and that was super cool to get to connect with the other exchange students who were going into, like, the same experience. And then in, like, September, I got on a train by myself to go to my host family's house that I was supposed to stay at for the whole year, and the first family ended up not working out super well. It was a little bit of a rough start for me. I ended up switching families and moving to Cologne, Germany. And my host family was, like, amazing. I love them so much.
Yes.
Especially, like, meeting friends in the first few months was really hard. Mm-hmm. Like, I would talk to people, but, like, it didn't really feel like a real connection just because my German yeah. wasn't there. And the program kept telling all of us that you have to keep speaking German. Like, you should not be speaking English. But then if, like, you're trying to connect with someone in a language that you're, like, not even conversational in at that point, like, it's so hard to, like, make real connections with people. But eventually, like, as my German progressed, I felt like I was able to make more friends and,
yeah.
like, really connect with people. And so now I have a couple friends that I speak English to, and then most of my friends I speak German to.
Yeah.
So it's, like, kind of nice to have that, like,
yeah, a little bit of a balance. And, yeah. like, the more German you speak, the more friends you make. Yeah, and then the more friends exactly. you make, the more German you speak. So it yeah. kind of all just, like, builds on
exactly.
itself.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
So as the year went on, do you feel like, I know you said you stepped away from just, like, America and just, like, being here in Northfield and specifically, like, running mm-hmm. and things like that, and you went to find, like, a different part of yourself.
Yeah.
Do you feel like throughout the course of the year you started, like, coming to terms with, like, other parts of yourself, or, like, you started learning new things? I mean, I know you said you were running in Germany. Like, was non-competitive running, like, really, like, therapeutic for you? Like, were you like, wow, I really love running when I don't have to race? Like, yeah. did you learn anything about yourself?
Yeah, I learned a lot. It's oftentimes, like, hard to say exactly, like, what I learned about myself or, like, in which ways I grew. But I think one, like, very tangible way is that I do think it reframed my view on running, especially because I was running with a club, or it's called a Sportverein. The kids there, so they were living in Cologne, and it was one of the biggest, like, sports clubs in Cologne, and they were all training for the German championship, so, like, the Deutsche Meisterschaft, and they were all, like very serious athletes, but they only ran 3 times a week, and they had an Olympic coach, and they just had, like, a completely different attitude on running. Like, if mm-hmm. you weren't feeling good in a day, like, you shouldn't run. Like, you should let yourself rest.
Yeah. Instead of, like, well, you need to be training.
You should be doing it every day. Yeah.
I feel like mm-hmm. it is very true that, like, in different countries, like, they have very different, yeah. like, attitudes about certain things, like, especially in sports and things
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. The, like, German attitude on sports is so different. Like,
yeah.
my friends who are in, like, other sports, and they have practice 3 days a week, like, at most. And, like, it's just such, like, a small part of their, well, not necessarily a small part of their lives, but they are able to, like, do other things as yeah. well. And
it's still, not all consuming. swimming.
Yeah, and still like focus on the sport and still be very successful. And I remember like my host parents talking to me, and I like some days I wouldn't want to go, like, oh, I'm just feeling tired today. Mm-hmm. Like my host mom would always tell me, like, you're gonna feel better after you run. Like, I know you're gonna feel better after you move your body. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's also something I learned, that just like you feel better when you move your body. Like you feel better when you're doing sports.
And
I think
you don't have to be moving your body in like the most vigorous way possible. Yes. Like you can just go out and have like an easy run. Yeah. Like just like move your body in some way to make it feel better. It doesn't have to be like your absolute best or nothing.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that really helped me come to terms with like how running was important in my life, because I think that like going from a place where I was training like 6 days a week, like thinking about it 7 days a week, like always thinking about running, thinking about my sleep and eating, like in relation to my running.
Just like breathing running.
Yeah. Breathing running.
Yes.
And then moving to a place where I did it 3 times a week and it was just like part of my life was super cool, because otherwise I think in the US I wouldn't know how to just like run 3 days a week. Like I think that I had the idea that in order to be an athlete I would have to do it like constantly. I was still running, I was still moving my body. And
Exactly. So this is your first year back in the US since that Germany exchange year. You came back, and over the summer you started training a little bit for cross country. You weren't really sure if you were running. You were still a little bit unsure about how you felt about competitive running. You were a little bit uneasy about it. Can you just tell us about what you felt going into another year of competitive running after not doing it for a year?
Yeah, so I was super scared.
Yeah.
Again, like, it was interesting because I felt like when I moved away, it was, like, a super scary thing I was doing. So, like, when I came back, like, nothing would feel scary anymore.
Yeah.
But really, like, the coming back felt way scarier, way bigger, just because I didn't really know how I would fit in, like, here and fit in the place where I used to be, and specifically in competitive running. And I really didn't want it to become my whole life again, and I didn't want to have the same, like, stress and, like, worries that I had, especially because I had, like, reframed my view on it, and I didn't want to be influenced by like the old view.
You didn't want to fall back into your old ways of like stress.
And interestingly enough, I got a concussion in July, and I still thought that I could run, and then there ended up being a lot of complications with it, post-concussion syndrome, and I had to do like a lot of physical therapy, and so that took me out of my senior cross season. So I didn't get to see what that would have looked like, and maybe that was maybe there's a silver lining in that I didn't have to go through the struggle of trying to reframe that with cross country.
Yeah.
But yeah, so over the winter I was kind of resting a lot and healing, and I'm back.
And I'm back.
I'm running.
Yes. Yeah. Is there anything specifically, like, especially since you didn't do cross country season, was there anything specifically you were trying to keep in mind going into track, since it really was your first competitive season back, where you knew you would be able to and you knew you were going to be running?
Yeah, I think I it's hard to say. I really wanted to not have my times define me as much and be a little bit kinder to myself, just about training and about like where I was and not being the fastest one and all of that. And it's still really hard because I have these like old PRs in the back of my head that it's just hard to let go of, because I'm not as I was when I was like a freshman. Like, and that's okay. Like, I think that the clarity that I got from my exchange year came with a cost, and maybe I would have been a faster runner now.
If I'd stayed.
Yeah, if I'd trained through. But I think my attitude is like a lot better now. Like, I didn't run the times that I wanted to yesterday, but at the same time, like, I think that after that race, I was a little sad, of course. Like, I think that's normal. But after it, like, I wasn't like, I didn't think that it defined me and made me like,
like your world wasn't crashing down.
My world
down
wasn't crashing
you.
Down. Like, it was just not the best day, but that is okay. Like,
I think it's really valuable. I mean, we've been friends for a long time, and I've seen you go through all the stress in cross country and leave for a year and come back a different person. And I think that, like, now you just have such a healthy relationship with running, which is something you and I both love and we've, like, bonded over. And I think, like, to see you come back and be able to love it again in, like, a new way has been awesome. So you are a distance runner, obviously, but you are also an artist.
Yes.
You are in the honors art class program this year at the high school, and you guys have a big event coming up called Arts a la Carte. Can you just tell us a little bit about, like, what is honors art and why is it different from all of the other, like, art classes at the high school?
So Honors Art is a really cool class, actually, or program. I don't know how you want to phrase it. It's a group of artists who have gone through the high school art curriculum who want to do something a little bit on their own terms. And so we fill out a contract for every, 3-week period saying, I'll complete, these 3 pieces. And so we have 3 contracts over the semester. And each of them, we have, 2 or 3 pieces that we have to, produce. And they can be whatever we want. They just have to fit under, our big theme. So each of us have a theme, and then we have a show at the end at the Arts Guild. And next week we have Arts a la Carte, April 11th, so you should all come.
Yes, for sure.
At the high school, and we all have our booths, and so we're gonna be displaying our artwork and just sharing it with people. Mm-hmm. And I'm super excited. And there's gonna be activities and an art contest and a raffle, so
yes, it'll be very fun things to do if you'd like to come and participate, for sure.
Yes, for sure.
So basically with Honors Art, you have a little bit more self-determinism and you have less lessons and lectures about art, and you just get to go make the art you want to make and then come back and get graded for it, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So you just have a little bit more freedom, creativity that you can put into it yourself.
Yes.
That's very exciting, Claire. What prompted you to apply for this program?
I think I always just wanted to do it. And last semester when I came back, I did an independent study with Mrs. Nori where I painted a very large canvas. I think it's 37 by 42 inches or something of the Cologne Cathedral and of a flower. And it's called Überwachsen or Overgrown in German. And that piece, which will be in my Honors Art show as well, helped me kind of deal with re-entry into the U.S. And it was of the Cologne Cathedral. And so it's kind of a year and about growth, and I just wanted to do more buildings actually for the second semester. So my theme is different buildings and places that have had impacts on me, and I'm doing mostly paintings and some drawings and watercolor and stuff. My title is The Buildings That Raised Me.
I that a lot, Claire. And you said the paintings kind of helped you get through the transition of coming back to the U.S. after your exchange year. Did you struggle a lot with feeling torn between two places that you both think of as home?
Yes, I definitely struggled. And I think that it's always going to be something for me because it really did feel like home. And I still have amazing friends there in my host family. And I did live with my host family for 8 months. They truly feel like a second family to me. Yeah. And I think this will be something that I'll always deal with. In my heart, there's always going to be two homes. And that's definitely a very difficult thing to deal with when you come back to this place, especially Northfield, very small town. I come back to the place and I love being with my friends again and connecting with people. But it's weird to see how things are the same when you're so different.
It's
a difficult thing.
Yeah.
But I do think that there's so much growth that you can experience through an exchange year.
Yeah.
And you can experience the same growth by coming back to a place. And I think it's also helped me realize who I am and how I've changed. When you're put back in the same place and put in the same situations, I react differently to things. And especially with running, we were talking about this earlier. I think that's a really hard question to answer because it's still I'm torn between.
You're torn between two places all the time.
But it's okay. And it's hard when I wish my friends here knew my friends there. That's the price you pay, and it's all worth it.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I am so excited to see what the rest of your senior season brings, Claire.
Yes, thank you for having me
today. Yes, of course. Okay, and thank you, KYMN fans, for listening. If you missed part of this interview live or want to listen to it again, head to our website, kymnradio.net, and tap on the sports header. You are with Liz Campbell on this week's Meet the Raider on The Raider Wrap. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1, The One.
This is Paul Ryland with Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers. You tend to hear a lot about our developments at Johnson Ryland, but you might be curious to know that a good 1/3 of our builds each year are off-site. We can build on your lot or help you find the ideal acreage lot, lakeshore, riverfront, or golf course location for your ideal next home. We start with site planning and then go to design and guide you through the whole process. If you can dream it, we can build it. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
Community banking at its best. Whether you are looking to improve your financial future, planning to buy a new home, or considering a mortgage, Heritage Bank in Northfield can help. Our ability to make decisions locally provides you the highest level of service at competitive rates. Your finances and home are important to you, and having a staff that you can trust makes all the difference. We make banking easy with real estate specialists and loan officers ready to help you. Stop by Heritage Bank on Highway 3 or contact us at heritagebankmn.com and see how the professionals at Heritage Bank can help you build your future.
Every day, each and every one of us at Benjamin Bus feels privileged to safely transport Northfield students to and from school and many after-school activities. We thank you for trusting Benjamin Bus with your most precious cargo, your children. At Benjamin Bus, safety is always our number one priority. Our team of drivers has over 400 years of combined experience, and they pride themselves on their record of keeping the children of this community safe. We at Benjamin Bus are proud of the accomplishments of the Northfield Raiders and wish all of the Raider student athletes a safe and successful season.
Finding the right home can feel like solving a puzzle. That's what Dean discovered when searching for a house that fit his vision and budget. He found a fixer-upper in the perfect location, but it needed work. That's when his lender from Merchants Bank stepped in. Equipped with a tool belt of loan programs, they worked to put all the pieces in place, helping Dean to turn that house into his dream home. Whatever your puzzle, Merchants Bank has the right fit for you. Merchants Bank, building dreams together since 1875. Equal housing lender, subject to approval.
Hey everyone, it's Malcolm with Junk Truck MN here. We're your local one-stop shop for junk removal, household moving, and dumpster rentals in the Northfield, Dundas, and surrounding areas. We can pick up one item, like a recliner, or clean out an entire property from attic to crawl space. At Junk Truck, we take anything and everything. We do all the labor of loading, so you don't have to. Also, check out M&M Resources in Dundas. We donate, recycle, reuse, and resell as much as we can so it's not all going in landfill. When it's time to clear the clutter, give Junk Truck a call.
Welcome back to the Raider Wrap. Well, I guess it's the end of the Raider Wrap, really. It's 17 minutes after 11 o'clock already. Whew, wow. So many cool things going on in the Northfield area this spring. And a special thanks to Catherine Norrie, who is up for Teacher of the Year and introducing us a little bit more to the Arts a la Carte, which is going on Friday. $5 to get in. It's at the high school, Northfield High School, in case you're wondering. Spread the word. Come on out. Let's support a lot of these art programs that are out there and available to these young students. It'll be kind of interesting. They have film, audio, visual, clay, sculpture, painting, charcoal art. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe they have some magic tricks and some bands or music or stuff. It's hard to say what they're going to be out there. There's going to be all kinds of students out there up and down lining the hallway on Friday starting at 5:30 for Arts a la Carte. So thank you, Catherine, for joining us. Janet Smith, always a pleasure having you on, your shiny, happy face, as she brings just a ton of optimism to this year's track team. And they're off and running as of Thursday. And you would have heard that from Claire Casson, who is this week's Meet the Raider guest. So plenty of activities coming up in the next weeks or so. We got to talk about the spring play. We've got to talk about the choir. We got to talk about the band. Hopefully we'll get some of the band instructors and orchestra and whatnot in studio to talk a little bit more about that. And hey, we've got tennis, we got baseball, we got boys and girls golf. We've got, you know, we've got a whole different type of golf for the spring as well. So lost one of our top performers last year from the girls golf team. So we'll have to get Mel in here to talk about this year's team and see what they're bringing to the golf course, if you will. So with that said, we're going to wrap things up. Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu for yet another week of Meet the Raider. Hey, have a great day. Enjoy it. God bless. Take care. Take 5 seconds, 10 seconds. Say, hey, thank you. The sun's shining today. You got that going for you, which is nice. See you next week on the Raider Wrap on AM 1080 and FM 95.1. The Run.
Crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone away.
Hey everyone, it's Malcolm with Junk Truck MN here. We're your local one-stop shop for junk removal, household moving, and dumpster rentals in the Northfield, Dundas, and surrounding areas. We can pick up one item, like a recliner, or clean out an entire property from attic to crawl space. At Junk Truck, we take anything and everything. We do all the labor of loading, so you don't have to. Also, check out M&M Resources in Dundas. We donate, recycle, reuse, and resell as much as we can so it's not all going in landfill. When it's time to clear the clutter, give Junk Truck a call.
For more than 10 years, the Northfield Area Family YMCA has been proud to serve the greater Northfield community. No matter your age or experience level, the Y is a place where everybody belongs. The Northfield YMCA offers child watch, 24-hour access for qualified members, a swimming pool for lessons and lap swimming, group fitness classes, and so much more. Stop in to ask about membership options at 1501 Honey Locust Drive in Northfield. A wonderful community is waiting for you at the Northfield Area Family YMCA.
Miss an episode of your favorite KYMN program? Find archives of all our programs at kymnradio.net or search for KYMN on your favorite podcast app, including Spotify and Apple Podcasts.